Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
810 Lisiana. Wednesday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. I'm trying to bring some levity here. I'm trying to, you know, talk with a smile on my face.
We're getting there. We're slowly getting there. But it has been difficult this morning.
Yeah, and it's one of those shows that makes you earn your broadcasting badge, and you never are prepared for it. But that is insignificant compared to what we're talking about here. If you are just joining us, news that came out of New Orleans, it's funny thing is, when we got here and started prepping for the show, didn't have this information.
No.
And that was like 4:45 or so, between 4:30 and 5 o'clock, and then it started coming in. And so let me give you the update, because we're going to talk Falcons here in just a little bit with our own Joe Patrick, but we promised you updates, and we will have, hopefully, a voice that is there in New Orleans coming up in the next segment. But at 3:15 this morning, an SUV plowed into the crowd celebrating New Year's in the French Quarter in New Orleans. 10 people are reported dead, 35 plus injured. Two New Orleans cops were shot by this guy in a pickup truck who was shooting from the truck. The police officers are in stable condition. Last reports we got. French Quarter obviously is closed. Oh, and we did get an update because Sam and I were looking at each other going, you know, we've heard these reports from the mayor and other. Nobody said anything about the man, and he is dead.
Yes, suspect is dead. We don't know how. But the suspect is deceased.
So when we got the first report from the mayor, the first news comments that came from officials was from the mayor of New Orleans. And I'm going to kind of parrot back what she said. If I'm missing anything, Sam, please correct me. So again, 3:15, and they are calling it a terrorist attack. This man purposely went in there trying to kill people. This is not a DUI situation.
No.
They want to make that clear. The majority of the people at the time of the report that we got, the mayor believed were local. And that's, you know, the reason why we were going through this exercise, not only because of what happened, but we knew that we had a lot of folks from Georgia who made that trip. But this is what she had said earlier. Over 300 officials were around the French Quarter because that's what they do when they have big events going on. This obviously
and
New Year's Eve.
And the Sugar Bowl.
So they had 300 officials around there, and this tragedy still happens.
Somebody really, really wanted to make this happen, to get around barricades and to find a way around all of those people who were in place to have a secured perimeter, basically. Right. And for them to penetrate that and make this happen was very determined.
This is, unfortunately, the phrase I use in other arenas when we're talking sports, but it applies right now, Sam, and that's want to. You know what I mean, unfortunately?
And we even hear something about some type of explosive device.
That was the other thing. The FBI found. The FBI has taken over this investigation. So that's what we have so far confirmed. There will be other updates, and we are not going to be mad at you if you have to go and you want to find out. You probably, because again, we talked about this. We have people we work with. I'm sure those of you out there listening have people connected with the University of Georgia that may have taken a trip to New Orleans for this event. So y'all are biting off fingernails just like us around here trying to get news or at least hear their voice. So that's the update. We're going to move forward. We're going to talk a little sports here. And then hopefully in the next segment, we're going to hear from someone who is there.
Yeah, we hope to hear from Jeff Sintel from Dog Nation, who is there. They're having a Zoom, all the people involved with them right now. We don't know if there are any changes for logistics as far as the day goes. We hope to find those things out. Plus, you know, find out about the team's preparation for the game tonight. So that's coming up in the next segment. Stay tuned.
In the meantime, I'm going to bring on our own Joe Patrick, and happy new year to you, sir. Wanted to bring you on here because, you know, when we want to talk Falcons, you're the man. And Sam and I, Joe, we came on here Monday, and it's been a while since we've done this after a Falcons game with the white hot emotions that were going on. And Monday was one kind of reaction.
Raw emotion.
It was fun. You see, you guys hear this on a weekly basis.
Oh, man.
But Sam and I haven't experienced this. So it was one kind of emotion on Monday. And then Tuesday, the coach spoke. And then that brought out a whole nother kind of reaction. So this has been interesting. Falcons waiting to see what happens between New Orleans and Tampa Bay, whether or not they're going to make the playoffs. But listen, as far as I'm concerned, like a lot of other people, I looked at that Washington game, despite the loss, as the glass being half full. And I'm not going to do a deep dive into what the coach did or didn't do, but my takeaway is this team got himself a quarterback for a while. They have got themselves a quarterback, and it is all going to be a learning experience right now. And so with that being said, give me your thoughts on, now that the dust has settled from that and we know what's ahead of us, this Falcons team and how you talk about what happened Sunday night.
Well, I mean, yeah, good to be with you guys. I wish it was on a little bit better terms, obviously, with the news that happened this morning. I just woke up not too long ago and saw that. It was, pretty disturbing stuff. But anyway, with the Falcons, I mean, I think it's, I'm sure you guys heard a lot of anger and frustration and disappointment and all those emotions. And I think it's like perfectly justified, honestly, from Falcons fans to have experienced what is now, we can't officially categorize it as a failure of a season if they don't make the playoffs because they still have a chance, technically. But, I think that the projections give the Falcons like an 85% chance, where in my mind it's like 85% chance for the Falcons to miss the playoffs, I should say. In my mind, it feels like it's like 99.9%. It's so hard to imagine the Bucs losing to the Saints in that last game of the season at home. But it just feels, it is frustrating. And you're right about Michael Penix. I mean, He is looking like a quarterback who's going to be able to lead this team for a long time. He certainly looks like he's got the kind of quarterback mojo that you need. And he showed that coming back and, converting on fourth down a few times on that final drive before connecting on a fourth and goal from the 12-yard line on an amazing throw to Kyle Pitts. That's all great. But I think just in the immediate moment, it's just so much frustration and disappointment because, it's once again a season where so much was promised and I shouldn't say promised, but expected. And, this is a team that is the best roster that this team has had in really since they were in the playoffs and last in the playoffs in 2017 and just didn't get it done. You had tried to address the quarterback situation. Kirk Cousins obviously had his issues that forces your hand to go to Michael Penix. And, it's hard to be too tough on him because he's in his second start, but, missed a few throws. But it's that Falcons defense that really couldn't get off the field and couldn't stop Jaden Daniels in that second half, another rookie quarterback. It's tough. It's tough. And then especially when you add on to that, the clock mismanagement by Raheem Morris. And you talked about it. He had a press conference that he did the day after the game talking about his decision to not call a timeout in that last drive the team had to, try to get a game-winning field goal. He talked about the reasons why, and it definitely feels like a defensive coordinator talking when you hear him say that, when you hear him talk about he didn't want, the opposing pass rush to have their premium looks on the field against Michael Penix. And, you sort of understand that, but ultimately the clock matters more. The time matters more. And I think everybody recognizes that, including Raheem Morris, who said that, despite, my justification for it, he said then that it was wrong. It was the wrong judgment in the moment, and that he should have called the timeout. So it's just frustrating the way the whole thing went down. At least we got that glimpse of Michael Penix and what he was able to showcase. That at least gives people, you'll call it glass half full. I'll just say it gives them, it gives people something to kind of dream about, maybe, again, getting a little bit ahead of myself, but over the course of the offseason, when this team can really fully plan around who is there going to be their quarterback for the long term, which we haven't been able to do in this town for, a handful of years now. So that's a lot on the table there.
Yeah,
I'm still coming to terms with it, guys. I'm still trying to deal with it.
I know, and you just woke up, and Joe Patrick joining us, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Not going to push back, but I want to comment on a couple things you said. First of all,
sure.
I think when you talk about this being a disappointing season, it deserves context because Yeah, Kirk Cousins forced your hand, but there is some other things that happened along the way. They could have played better, and things couldn't have come down to the last few minutes against in that Kansas City game, and there are people who are still ready to just spit and cuss and all that about the refs. So that's one game that could have gone the Falcons' way, which would have changed how we look at Game 17. 17. Game 16, you can't call a guy who's in this first year in the league a rookie at that point. So Jaden ain't a rookie. There weren't two rookies going at that game Sunday night. There was one rookie, but that other dude was, and he wasn't a seasoned professional, but he knew what to do, and that third quarter showed it to me. Again, this is how, after the dust has settled, I'm sort of processing this whole thing. And my last thought is, when you talk about what's around the corner, what's possibly next for Michael Penix, you got to ask yourself this. Despite how you feel about how Raheem handled the end of that game, you got to feel like or hope that you have the team that can coach up a quarterback and put him in the best position to succeed, much like the former coach, what he's doing in Washington right now, and what the Bears aren't doing and other I mean, there are so many teams wishing they had this opportunity to get this diamond in the rough, Michael Penix, but will they do the right thing with them? And that's my question to you. Do you feel confident that the right people, this ain't Arthur Smith and his crew. This is a whole other regime. And you got to feel, at least I do, better about the possibilities of what's next, coaching him up and possibly being what we see in Washington as opposed to what we see in Chicago.
Yeah, no, I'm a believer in this offensive staff. When we talk about these kinds of things, it's really not even Raheem Morris, but it's kind of the staff kind of beneath him and the people who specifically in the case of Michael Penix are kind of overseeing his development and helping prepare him for games, which goes to that quarterback room with DJ Williams, who's Doug Williams' son, who he's worked really closely with this year, along with TJ Yates, and of course the offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, who I have a faith in Zach Robinson. There's kind of split opinion on him this year, but with the way that things have gone, I agree that there's been some good games and not so good games called from him, but I do want to cut him some slack with some of the play calling over the course of the season because of, you know, the limitations that I think were on him because of, you know, Kirk Cousins and what he was able to do, how he was able to move. And you could already see this Falcons offense, I don't know if expanding is the right word, but there is a different kind of play call style that Zach Robinson has had with Michael Penix under center in these last couple of games, trying to take some of these shots to the outside and, you know, doing some different stuff in the play action game where Michael Penix is able to get out of the pocket a little bit, get on the edge a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of, you know, optimism and hope for that. No doubt about it. I mean, I think that, like, you know, the signs are pointing up for the Falcons offense, but it's about the defense and over the course of the offseason, how you're going to retool that thing where you're going to be trying to replace Matthew Judon, Justin Simmons, who obviously hadn't made a huge impact as big as he wanted this year, but those are two, you know, important pieces, important positions on a football team that you've got to occupy. And then you don't really have a lot of draft picks to do it, and you don't have a ton of free agent money. You might also have to make some cuts on that defensive side of the ball as well with some veterans. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this team retools. I wouldn't lose, like, all faith in Raheem Morris based on, you know, one clock mismanagement situation. I will say I certainly disagree with it. I understand and agree, frankly, with a lot of people's frustrations over the situation. But, you know, I do still think there is, you know, obviously there's hope. There's hope ahead for this team. But, again, it's just frustrating that it seems to come at not the pace that I want or fans want or certainly Arthur Blank wants. That's the thing that you know about this organization is that there's nobody kind of more upset about the way things are going than the owner, which is what you want. You want, you know, the ownership and the top executives to be the ones who are most pushing for change, and I'm sure that will continue this offseason.
Hey, man, listen, we look forward to hanging out with you in 2025. I want to thank you. Get your first cup of coffee this morning and watch the news. But, Joe, also I want to apologize. Mr. Crenshaw got sparks coming off him because he's working on making sure that we have somebody in New Orleans. He's been reaching out to folks all morning long doing that news reporter thing. So he apologizes for not having a chance to get in here. We are going to hopefully get a chance to talk to you. You're joining John Fricke on Sunday getting ready for Falcons and Carolina. So maybe that morning you can give us a call. We'll try and catch you before you get in the elevator, you know, so you can come back. But I do want to personally, and speaking for Sam, thank you for giving us a little diversion from the news that we've been talking about all morning long out of New Orleans to talk a little sports here. And so, listen, buddy, happy New Year to you. Go enjoy the rest
of
your day.
Guys.
And hopefully we get a chance to talk to you Sunday when we're back in our normal spot.
Yep, likewise. Been fun talking all year, and hopefully do a lot more in 2025.
There you go. That is Joe Patrick. Man, go enjoy your day for the rest of you.